Away from your radio? Listen to 1010XL on the 1010XL app, a free download for all smartphone users, or say, Alexa, open 1010XL.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Here's the game, ladies and gentlemen. With no timeouts left, the Jaguars will not be able to stop the clock. Gerard barks out the signals in the shotgun, takes the snap, drops. Now he's going to run, and David's going to get in and more. He's at the 25-yard line. Stays on his feet, 20. There he goes, 15, and he's down at the 10. How about that one? 40 seconds to play in the wild card. The snap, the placement, the kick up on the way. Scobie drills it, and the Jaguars retake the lead, 31-29, with 37 seconds to play.
Live from TIAA Bank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Mike DeRocco.
All right, we are live at the bank. Jaguars Today on this Thursday morning. Good morning, Jacksonville and other parts as well. There are a lot of parts around the world that listen to Jaguars Today, and we appreciate each and every one of you out there. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and Mike DeRocco here with you. DeRocco, we were just talking a minute ago. I think this may be the first time that the three of us have actually done this show together, the three of us, in this studio. Is that right? Could that be possible?
I think so, because we didn't do it in here during the season, and I think I did one in July with Tony, he and I. I sat in one day.
Yeah.
And then that was it.
Because what happens, like, they use the studio to do some production the Jags do on Thursdays during the season, right? So it's pretty much tied up all day, so it's just easier. We just do it over at the radio station. And then since that was the case, we started having weekly meetings for all the different shows over there. And Tony and I decided, well, if we're already here on Thursday, we'll pick Thursday. So when the season ended, we just continue along with that. And D-Rock thought we were embarrassed of him to show him off down
no,
here.
I don't. Well, maybe. It was weird.
Jury's still out.
Yeah, it was weird to drive in here today. I mean, it's because I texted me to remind me, and we talked the other day, and even after you texted me this morning, I started driving. I was like, oh shoot, I'm going the wrong way. I started to go the other way. So
yes,
it's just
you made
on
it.
Habit. I'm
We're
here.
All glad all of Jacksonville is now.
I'm here.
Resting easy that you are on the airwaves. You're wearing your ESPN windbreaker. You and I were on the golf course recently, and we got paired up with some guys. And the guy goes, "Oh, so you work at ESPN?" You know he didn't think you did, right? Do you get that everywhere you go?
No.
Like, if I saw somebody with an ESPN windbreaker, I'm thinking they probably have a magazine subscription.
That's exactly the way I kind of figure most people look at it, yeah.
Right. And he probably thought that was going to be the case with you. Like, oh, right. This
well,
guy.
No, I bought, oh, this, I got this when I bought 28 issues of the mag from 1999.
Right.
No, yeah, it was funny. And then I was like, yeah, actually, and then he had nothing to say after that, which is fine.
So you're
funny.
you're not splitting duties this weekend.
No,
thought you might be covering the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I was told I was gonna probably be covered, and then they were like, "We're not. Never mind." And I'm like, "Okay, if you want to give me a weekend off in March, I'll be more than happy to do that.
Take them when you can get them, baby.
Absolutely.
I filled out my bracket dutifully last night. Put a lot of thought into it. And had I not,
Liar.
I probably could have done it in a single minute. But as it was, it took maybe 90 seconds, you know, because
yes,
I don't
well.
Write any faster than that. I didn't go with all the top seeds, Tony. I went pretty chalky. I think everyone's going kind of chalky this year. But if you're going to win the pool, I think your odds are better if you don't pick Duke. Because I think if Duke wins, well, 90% of people are picking them to win the thing. Maybe not 90%, but 50% or greater are going to pick Duke to win the pool, right? Or win the tournament. So in your pool, if everybody else has got them, you better be ahead going into that final game. So I'm going with a different tactic.
Yeah, well, it always used to annoy me, too, when people are like, oh, who's your bracket? Who's in your Final Four? And you tell them, it's like, oh, you know, you're not picking any upsets. Or, you know, way to go with the chalk all the way. It's like, well, listen.
No, I'm not.
I haven't. But, B, it's like, well, look, I'm trying to win this damn thing.
Right.
Because there's $500 at stake, allegedly.
I was going to say, when we get to the final week and you're like, I got nobody left. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm going for the big points that week. The 20 points or
exactly.
whatever.
It's like, well, I'm trying to win this damn thing. So I'm picking the teams that I legitimately think will win.
Right. Congratulations to that person. I'm sure they had George Mason in the Final Four years back.
Right.
You know, and that was the year
right.
they
like every
up.
Now and then, like every 12 years, they crush everybody in
right.
the office pool.
Like everyone, know? No one's even close to them. Right. You know what? I'd take one out of 12 years.
Oh, sure.
I don't know if I've ever won the office pool. I was pretty close. I think I was in the top three last year at 1010XL.
I think you were.
After not watching like any college basketball, yeah. My team almost made the tournament. St. John's lost in a playing game last night. I don't count that.
No.
You know,
wouldn't be their first tournament win in 10 years or whatever it was.
No, not to me it wouldn't
right?
anyway. You know, they and I had them already losing in the next round if they did get into the tournament. But, man, Chris Mullin is a red-faced dude. Right. He is – right? I mean, seriously, I don't have True TV, but honestly, that March Madness Live, used to be March Madness On Demand, is the best app out there, I think.
Yeah.
You watch every game for free right there on whatever device you got.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Love it. So I watched St. John's get beat down last night by Arizona State. He's probably not even all that good, but I think it was their first tourney win in 10 years, or pseudo-tourney win.
Pete Prisco's happy.
Yeah, he is, I guess. I didn't go to St. John's, so let him brag. You know, my favorite baseball player went to Arizona State. Reggie went to Arizona State.
Oh, okay.
So there you go. I did the poll a couple weeks ago. I threw it out there, and this is what it was in reference to. I didn't want to kind of blow him up. Reggie Jackson was coming to 1010XL to do a show.
Mm-hmm.
We're lending him a studio, you know, for SiriusXM, just for like a one-hour gig on Saturday. He was supposed to have been down in Tampa at Legends Field where the Yankees are training, and he wanted to go to Amelia Island and play golf, right? So we helped facilitate him getting set up. And I've heard some stories, like Reggie's my guy. Like, who was your guy growing up? Who was your favorite athlete? Like, who did you have the posters on the wall for and all that?
Well, like when I was young, it was probably, I was a huge Jim Rice fan and Carter Strimsky fan. Love those two.
Oddly enough, I had the Fred Lynn poster that Sam Malone had in Cheers. Like,
yeah.
You know, like for some reason, I like Fred Lynn, even though he played for the Red Sox, mm-hmm. you know. And then, of course, he went to the Angels not too long after that. But if you remember, Sam had it like right on the inside of his office door. He had this Fred Lynn poster, and I, for whatever reason, had the exact same one back in the day.
I was Jim Rice.
Jim Rice guy.
Yeah, loved him.
Tony,
absolutely
where were you? You probably didn't have Dale Murphy posters. You weren't young enough to have Dale Murphy posters.
I had a Dale Murphy poster.
Did you?
I think it was my dad's, but that was up in my room. As soon as Chipper was there, that's what it became.
Ah,
it was
Chippy.
All about Chipper. Yeah,
Chippy. Chip off the old block. Yeah. I was all Reggie everywhere. Every magazine cover I could find, I put it up on my wall, all that stuff. But I've heard some tales about Reggie. That he's maybe not the most, I don't know, nice person to others.
Whoops. Probably why he was as good at baseball as he was.
It may be. I mean, I knew he was an arrogant so-and-so when he played. Even as a kid, you knew that, right?
Oh,
but I didn't care because he you know,
one game,
larger than life, and he came through in the clutch and all these things. And so I asked people on Twitter a couple weeks ago if you had a chance to meet your boyhood or your childhood idol. But many people who had met him personally told you that he was a jerk and you wouldn't like him. Would you do it? And it was 51-49 said yes. I went with no. I chose to preserve my memories of Game 6 of the 77 World Series as they are in my mind right now.
Yeah.
That's what I went with.
I'm totally with you on that.
Yeah,
my answer would be no.
I've heard too many stories about him over the years that I just didn't want to be, you know, like one of those, hi, Reggie, I'm so... What, so, you know, like, why would I care kind of thing?
I think because of the business that we're in,
yes,
and you're around these guys all the time, that you lose a little bit of the, whoa, that's so-and-so, and you realize that they're just as much of a dirtbag or jerk or, you know.
Some are,
as anybody else is.
And some of the players you hated or rooted against
were great guys.
Are phenomenal guys.
Yeah, it's just because they play doesn't mean that they're, like, any different than the rest of us.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you get a group of 53 guys together and you wander through there, you're probably going to find 50 of those guys you'll like, and three of them will be total jerks or even more, and you won't like those guys. It's no different than... you know, 53 kids in your high school class.
Well, Tony and I certainly have no love lost for the Tennessee Titans, nor do we wish them well in any way, shape, or form. But you're not going to find many people better than Delanie Walker
business.
Delanie Walker's a phenomenal guy, you know. And so you could put that aside for a little bit. So I've got this perfectly preserved, skewed memory of my childhood.
I don't mean to interrupt, but like I keep looking over your shoulder.
Touchdown.
I don't
touchdown
like,
Jesus or what? That's not touchdown Jesus, really.
No,
that's
Notre Dame.
It's Christ Redeemer.
Yeah. Yes. I'm confused as to like was that here in July? Because this is befuddled me. He's in a Jaguars jersey. Is that what he's wearing?
No, that's our man Cristiano from Brazil.
He brought it.
Came
for
up
us.
To visit.
Okay.
And he lives down there. He's taking pictures in Jaguars Today gear in front of the Christ the Redeemer statue in Brazil. So he went out and bought that, and he
painted
it. He may have painted.
Yeah.
Our dear Lord.
Cool. I'm just a little.
His robes.
Bit,
yeah. It's not like he has teal skin, for goodness sakes. All right.
I'm just a little bit flummoxed. That's all. I don't.
You think he's neutral?
yeah. Blasphemy comes to mind
well,
here.
I don't know.
I just
I love that thing. That thing is awesome.
It is pretty cool looking. Too. I look up and I go, "Why is God wearing Jaguars?" Clearly, he's not a fan.
Who else would he root for? No, but he,
over the
you know,
past
it's
decade,
free
we can
will
prove
determinate, you know self-determinism.
These are the
man.
Years in the wilderness, D-Rock.
He's gonna sit. He may know what's gonna happen, but he's gonna let it play out.
40 years? Is this the 40 days in the desert? Is that
maybe
what we're
only,
40 years
so
in the desert?
25. We're gonna condense it to 25, and Nick Foles is gonna lead him to a Super Bowl this year.
Oh my God, the Messiah!
All right.
Called Nick Foles the Messiah.
I did not.
Yes,
I said,
you did.
Wouldn't that be Moses? Moses not the Messiah, right?
Moses didn't fit for my joke.
Well,
so.
Right, but I certainly didn't call Nick Foles the Messiah. Thank you very much. Man, wow, that's a more arable nickname than the one he had up in the city of brotherly love.
Sure.
We'll put it that way. Let's
yes.
Leave it at that. Today, we will reveal our the folly of our March Madness brackets. We'll give you who we've got winning all the games.
Is this in a sheet?
Yeah.
He's got a sheet.
Wow. That's a little protective cover?
Yeah, you know what? Because I'm allergic to newsprint.
Oh, know? That's right. I forgot
about
that.
That's why.
Sorry.
It's like,
never mind.
And printer ink. You know, all that, the same kind of ink.
Okay.
Way to go,
I
Drew.
Thought you were like, this is like, I'm going to frame this
thanks,
bad boy.
Mike.
This is all, yeah.
You want to make fun of my club foot, too?
Absolutely.
It's going on the fridge.
I did it in crayon. I think it looks very good.
All right. I
color-coded it with all the teams. So we'll go through our picks later, if that's all right
it
with you.
It is interesting. He's got little drawings of all the mascots next to the team.
He's more frisky down at the stadium, isn't he?
I don't know. That just floored me. Well, I'm real. That really, the Jesus, Jaguar Jesus really flummoxed me a little bit.
All right. Well, you know. Settle down. It'll be okay. Today, if you want to get in, talk a little Jaguar football, we will do that as well over the course of the next 2 hours. I did think it was interesting, Jeff Prosser talking about kind of the backup quarterback situation. Is it what it is? I mean, is it just Cody Kessler or Tanner Lee, whomever? Are they going to make a move for a veteran guy, or is the quarterback room kind of what the quarterback room is at this point, barring a draft pick spent on another guy at that position? As most of the guys with experience playing in the National Football League are getting gobbled up and brought in to back up various starters around the National Football League. So we'll look into that. We'll talk about as well, how good is this roster? Like, we talk about the defense being potentially another top five unit as they were last year. There are some guys that are not going to be back on that side of the football. Are we relying too much on the defense for the Jacksonville Jaguars to come back at that top five level in 2019, and how much trouble would they be in if they're unable to match that? If you want to weigh in today on social media, today's question today asks you which four teams you've got in your Final Four, assuming you filled out an NCAA Men's Tournament March Madness bracket. You can hit us up on Twitter with those at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at ESPN Duraco, or on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. If you want to talk Jags, pick up the phone at 641-1010 or text the program at the same number. The text line is driven by Duval Ford. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Mike Duraco. Jaguars Today live at the bank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, for many of us out there right now, it's tax.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at TIAA Bank Field, this is Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, 641-1010 on the phone lines of the text line, driven by Duval Ford to get up board Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and D-Rock are all here with you live at the bank as we are in close proximity to Veterans Memorial Arena, where the LSU Tigers will tip off against the Yale Bulldogs at, 12:40 today, I believe, is the
correct
scheduled tip time there. How many of these mascots would you get would you say? How, what percent of the mascots would you be able to get, Tony?
Oh, I don't know.
75%. It's the small schools that are going to get you, yeah, right? Like, I don't have any idea what Northern Kentucky is. Something like that. But
Bourbon.
Northern Kentucky bourbon
I have
drinkers.
No idea. Northern Kentucky something.
The distillery. The barrels.
Yeah.
The barrels. Yeah. The bourbon barrels.
Probably. I'd say maybe we could probably get 70%.
You think that's it? I think we could do. We'd get all the big ones, obviously, right? We'd get all the power, you know, the all power right. conference ones. You get a lot of, like the Yale Bulldogs. I just gave you the Yale Bulldogs.
Right. D-Rock. North Dakota State Bison.
Who you got for Fairleigh Dickinson?
Oh, that's like a weird one.
I'm going to go with Bulldogs again. No.
When in doubt, Bulldogs or Tigers.
I think Bulldogs is the most popular
Bulldogs or Tigers,
name
yeah.
In collegiate sports.
Oh, wow.
Nevada Wolfpack.
Yeah, St. Louis Billikens, that one I got.
Knocking these out right now, left yeah. and right. All right, D-Rock, yesterday, Tony and I and the collective audience of Jaguars today talked a lot about expectations for Nick Foles in his first year in Jacksonville. Obviously, you can, but you won't be able to accurately, in my opinion, judge Nick Foles until we see the end of his career here, right? And you right. look back and you say, all right, he played 4 years or he played 7 years and he got him to the playoffs X amount of times. Did he win a championship? If he wins a championship, it's a tremendous signing. Honestly, I mean, you give almost, to me, you give the front office a pass on every other mistake practically, right? I mean, because it's so hard to win one.
Yeah.
Right? They're in their 25th year. They've never been to a Super Bowl. Somebody just listening to yesterday's show where we asked what if Foles and the Jags need to do this year in order to basically justify Nick Foles, make it a success, said get to the Super Bowl or it's not a success. I don't know if it's just because of the way this team is built. Like, do you look at 1999 as a success or a failure season? They're the best team in football, but they didn't make the Super Bowl. Lost to the Titans three times.
Had they not lost to the Titans three times, had they not had the best record, had they not all of their losses the entire year only been to the Titans, I would have said then it's still a success. But it was a really good season, but, I mean, they should have been in the Super Bowl.
96 is obviously a success.
96, yes.
A overwhelming success.
Absolutely.
Right?
And, I shouldn't say it's not a success in 99, but, I mean,
I know what you're saying,
yeah,
though.
I mean, like, if they weren't the best team and they had the best record and the number one seed and they lost to the stinking Titans three times and Jeff Fisher, I think people – that loss will probably bother any Jaguar player or any Jaguar fan more than any other loss ever.
Oh, up to this point, sure it would. And, you know, until they get over the hump, it's still going to bother them.
It'll bother them way more than the Patriots lost 2 years ago when
absolutely.
They feel like they got robbed.
Right, feel like they got robbed because it's all the accompanying stuff that goes with it.
Right.
But I wonder if that person who responded that way, and that look, they're entitled to feel however they want, but do they feel that way like every year that you don't make the Super Bowl, or is it because they feel the parts in place defensively, you add Nick Foles to it, you've got hopefully a healthier offensive line situation, all these different things. Does that person feel it would only be the case for this year based on what they presently have on the roster? Is that just like their hard and fast rule that you don't make it to the Super Bowl, it's not a successful season? Because I certainly think based on recent history, 2017 was a wildly successful season.
Yeah, well, I think part of it might be the fact that the Patriots have been to so many Super Bowls over the last two decades. And they look at it and they're like, well, they do it. And they've got their quarterback. And, yeah, he's great. But you look at the rest of the talent on that team. And sometimes it's not very good at other spots. And the Patriots make it look easy by getting there year after year after year. So maybe that plays into it a little bit.
I don't think anybody thinks they're getting Tom Brady, though. That they're getting a guy. And, I've used the phrase out-dueled Tom Brady. I say that because his team won. Brady threw for over 500 yards.
Yes, he did.
In that Super Bowl.
And if he doesn't get sacked, the strip sack, I'm not sure that the Patriots don't win that game.
They don't go down and score again. It was kind of like whoever has the ball last was going to win that football game. But he won Super Bowl MVP. If you're expecting Tom Brady, I think you're going to be sadly disappointed, you know, and I think you got to expect an upgrade from what they had. So how would you answer that question?
I think they got to get to the playoffs this season for that to really be a success. And I know that it's not all on the quarterback, and you threw some scenarios at me
at the
break.
That's
you know what I mean?
How I'm going to do. You know?
Right, exactly. And I get it. I totally get it. But, I mean, you signed – this guy was a Super Bowl MVP. You signed him to be your franchise guy, which, again, I don't really like using that term because it doesn't necessarily always apply the way we use it. But you signed him to be your franchise guy. Your defense is a top 10 defense, even though you lost a couple of pieces. I still think they have a lot more work to do on offense than they do, obviously. But, you know, if you have the right quarterback, that makes up for a lot of issues. So
I feel, and Tony feels, I believe he agrees with me, if Nick Foles were on this team last year, they would have been an 8-8 team. Nothing different. Just
at least
swap out Bortles for Foles.
Right.
Because, everything else the same.
Right. Because he would have been able to carry them a little bit. Certainly, when that
there
run
so game
was gone.
There were so many close games. Yes. You just needed something consistent, some accurate, you know, third down passes to open guys, to, you know, move the chains a few times.
I would imagine they would have beaten the Steelers here, third and five. We obviously can't know, but I do agree with that.
I don't think they ever would have been in position with third and five. The way that first half went, I think they would have been up 24-0, and it's but good night. Honestly, if they
That's
had a
possible.
Competent quarterback that day.
Yeah.
But we sit here and we look at the Minnesota Vikings, right? And they go, well, we had Case Keenum. We won 13 games. We're bringing in what we feel is a much better quarterback. And I think Kirk Cousins has been a better quarterback than Case Keenum. You just stack up their numbers side by side, it's pretty clear. But he hasn't won big, so you can argue that. But they went backwards in a big way last year in the standings. You know, and you look at the Jags, you say, well, it can't be worse than last year.
It can always be worse.
It can. Right?
Every situation can always be worse.
It can. You're going to get one more guy hurt. But you presume that the offensive line won't have the same number of injuries.
That was excessive.
I mean, you get down to like your fourth left tackle, your fifth tight end. You lose Norwell. You lose Linder. You're losing all these guys.
Yeah, like all those guys that are starting, none of them will be back at the end of the year, except for Kane.
Right. You're playing a bunch of guys who right now are on the street as free agents, drawing minimal interest, most of them, although Eric Flowers did sign on in Washington.
He did.
To play guard. So you look at, and I think what people are saying, well, defense is going to be good again. Are we overlooking the losses on the defensive side of the football? Malik Jackson is gone, and I understand Malik lost his job by the end of the year, right? He wasn't starting over Marcell Dareus. But when you're talking about who you want on the field, at least in my opinion, and your top three guys because you're rotating the three, Avery Jones along with Malik and Dareus were the best three that they had there. And we're expecting Taven Bryan to show us something he hasn't shown us yet at this point in time. We're expecting, I don't know if we're expecting, but hoping that Jake Ryan or somebody steps up and they have a third, they have better linebacker depth than they had, right? And now you turn over half of your secondary in a big way, and I heard the guys on the drill talk about this morning. Both of those guys in 2017 were playing really well.
Pro Bowl.
Right?
They were
Church
Pro Bowl level guys. Right? Gibson was a Pro Bowl. Like, that's where they were at.
Right. And you're not going to have – well, you may get that this year, but you can't know
count
that.
On.
You can't expect that. You can't count
and
on
And whatever
it.
You think of Dante, what do they have coming in for Yon right now? Because Dante was a guy that got 8 sacks that year. What's coming off
that
the bench
year,
right now for pass rush for them? He was good that year for them.
Which makes the defensive end still a viable thought at number 7.
Defensive line, I think, is probably where they're going to go.
With the 7th pick.
With the 7th pick. Because of all those issues. Because you can get by with a right tackle that's not great. I mean, you don't really want to, but you've built that left side of the line to be pretty good.
Good news is they've got a right tackle right now who's proven to be not great so far. So that's
right? One that we have no idea.
Right.
That's right.
So, we'll roll the bones there. The more I think about it, if I had to make my pick today, I still would probably say they take the offensive lineman, Juwan Taylor, at 7. But as we get closer and as we, you know, the more you talk to people and stuff, I would not be surprised if, you know, when it's time for our ESPN mock draft, that I'll put him down taking a defensive lineman.
Interesting. Let's go to the phones for the first time today. 641-1010. We head to Sanford, Florida, and Mike is on the line on Jaguars today. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Going well. What's on your mind?
good. So, hey, I wanted to weigh in a little bit on the how do we define Nick Foles' success thing. And I, for one, think it's really oversimplistic to say win a Super Bowl because what do you say about football? It's the ultimate team game, right? I think the definition of success for a quarterback is, does he get you to the postseason year after year or most years? Because everything has to go right. Your team has to be hot at the end. You know, it's a team game. So to say, oh, he has to win a championship, I forgot that he was the only guy on the field. Good call. No, like, if he can get you winning season and get you to the playoffs consistently, that is a good signing for a quarterback. Then you can say, hey, 3 or 4 years he's here, he got us to the playoffs, he did his job. It comes down to the rest of the team whether or not they make or win a Super Bowl. That's my thought.
Well, yeah, it comes down to the whole team, right? Him included. But no, I would tend to agree with you. I'm not saying – I don't think any of us defined it as – look, if you win a Super Bowl, it absolutely would be a success. I think that was the point. If they won one, I don't care what he does in the rest of his seasons. For a team that's never won a championship, if you were to win one in his tenure, it's the greatest quarterback tenure in the history
of
the franchise.
Why do you think he's a folk hero in Philadelphia?
Yeah.
If Nick Foles were to go to win the Super Bowl this year and go 3-13 the next 3 years, best quarterback in franchise history.
Well, and here's the other thing to judge this as a success. If this they don't make the playoffs, the staff's getting fired.
I don't know about that.
I think if they miss the playoffs, I think if Shad looks at it and he goes, we spent all this money on Foles. And if
they go 9-7 and miss by a game?
I don't know.
I'm not convinced. You see, I'm not saying I'm 100% locked in that you're wrong, but I think there's some wiggle room in there.
There may be a little bit of wiggle room, but if they go 8-8 and
Lambeau craps the bed and misses three potential game winners in December,
that is not likely.
I'm not saying it's likely. I'm just saying there are scenarios where I think you can justify bringing back the coaching staff at 8-8 or 9-7.
Probably, but I would think. That's progress, sure, but is that enough progress for Shad? Look, the way I look at it, they got to get.
He
to
wanted
the postseason.
Continuity after a 5-11 year.
He did.
You add four games to the bottom line. I mean, team in legit, like if they're playing,
they got to be in the race
16,
in December.
They're playing legitimate, meaningful games, right? Not if we win and 17 other things happen, we're still alive for another week.
And by the way, you can get to 9-7. By being out of the playoffs and winning like the last game or two games or whatever, if you're depending on how everything else goes,
sure.
Same thing with 8-8. You know, you're out of the playoffs, but you win your last two to go 8-8.
It's right. There are different 8-8 isn't always the same. I'm not saying 8 is good enough. I don't think it's a hard and fast line in the sand that they have to make the postseason. I mean, no, look, I don't know. I'm not in Sean Kahn's hand.
That I think they have to be in it in December. They have got to be in the playoff race in December. They got to be playing meaningful December games at home. And, you know, it can't be, like you said, they win today and they get 19 other things happen. If two other games end up in a tie, that kind of thing. That can't be the scenario.
Mike, thank you for the call. Look, just to be clear, we're not saying they have to get there. We're saying if they did, it's a success.
Yeah, absolutely.
If they make the playoffs, I think we'd all agree that's probably a successful season. And then that's not to say you're satisfied. Then you take your chances with a guy who's been very successful in the playoffs at quarterback over the last couple of years and hopefully get on a little bit of a run there as well. 641-1010. You want to weigh in on the conversation, talking Jaguar football with you. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, we continue on Jaguars Today here on this Thursday morning NCAA tournament. Tips off for real coming up here in
2 hours.
2 hours in Jacksonville, right? 2 hours from right now.
Yep.
In Jacksonville with LSU and Yale going at it. Who else do we have? We've got Maryland playing somebody I picked to upset them. I can't even remember in my bracket today. Maryland and Belmont. That's who we've got in that pairing right there. And we've got Kentucky going tonight. Wofford. And Seton Hall in the late game. Yes, sorry, Abilene Christian. I skipped right over you. You are playing Kentucky, and enjoy that. That ought to go well for you. I don't think Kentucky's going to stub their toe in Jacksonville, Florida tonight.
Probably not.
Pretty confident about
probably
that.
Probably not.
Yeah, man. All right. Big Blue Nation showing up for practice yesterday, too.
Did they?
There were a couple thousand people in there to watch practice, so.
They travel well.
They do.
You know? Hope they still tuck
tickets. I think the gentleman we saw at the window trying to get tickets as of yesterday afternoon, I'm guessing he was for tonight's session.
Must have been. This guy, Tony and I go to pick up our credentials. I wasn't sure where the media will call was, so we went to the wrong side.
Okay.
Where the ticket windows were. And so we're just asking. It is shocking to me. It's not just the arena. It's every arena. It's every stadium. Unless it's the department that you're working at that particular window, like whatever goes out that window, if it's not that, don't ask anybody because they don't know.
They don't know.
They do not know. Like, do you know where the media will call is? As soon as you get, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it because you don't know and you're going to guess and you may be right, you may be wrong. But this guy wanted tickets and he was not pleased with his choices on what were left. He's like, that's obstructed view. That's obstructed view. He was actually pretty nice about it by the end, but because he realized, I waited till the last minute to try to get tickets.
Right.
But I think you're probably right, Tone. I doubt that was a Wofford fan.
Yeah, that seemed like a local Big Blue Nation guy that thought he could come up last minute and get himself some tickets. And unfortunately, I think it's going to be pretty crowded
in the arena tonight. From somebody outside the arena here with the.
All right, let's go to the phones. Johnny Callahan's got a question I think is a good, interesting one here, and he joins us on Jaguars Today. Good morning, John. How are you?
What's up, guys? Hey, I keep hearing the name, and the Juwan Taylor keeps getting brought up, and I don't have a problem with us taking an offensive lineman at 7. But I keep trying to figure out why does everybody keep putting Juwan Taylor to us? He wasn't even the best on his team. I think Big Sur's mentioned it the other day. If you're the best offensive lineman on your team, you're eventually going to get moved to left tackle on a college team. And he was never even able to take that spot over. And just my thinking on this, along with listening, you know, to all you guys throughout the day, you got Cam coming back, and he's going to be hindered. We all know a player is not normal until their second year after an ACL tear. They always say, I never felt right the year after. Why not move Cam over, bring the kid in out of Alabama, and let him play left tackle? And if we're going to go that route, why do we keep talking about Juwan Taylor when he wasn't even – I mean, we've been burned by Florida way too many times. Now we're talking about drafting a kid that wasn't even the best offensive lineman on his team. And I'll take y'all's answer off air, man.
I appreciate it. First of all, I could care less that he went to Florida or any other school. The burned – you know, what did Derek Harvey have to do with Juwan Taylor?
Fred Taylor burn you?
No. Regardless, I mean, I get it. Fans make that connection. We've, you know, had X amount of Gator players here, the ones who turn out to be really good. Maybe it's a small list. You probably find that with most schools in the NFL.
Generally in the NFL, there's a lot of guys who don't make it.
Right. But that aside, a lot of people don't think Jonah Williams is going to play any tackle. They think he's going to be a guard. Now, Williams thinks he's going to play tackle in the National Football League, but he started at Alabama as a right tackle as well. Look, Juwan, just because I'm not saying Juwan Taylor's worth the 7th pick, okay? But I'm not saying he's not just because he didn't play left tackle in college either.
Right.
Some guys' body types are more suited to play one than the other, right? He's more the mauling, massive road grader, going to be better. He's solid in pass protection, but better as a run blocker. That's typically the MO of a right tackle, right? Where you've got Andre Dillard out of Washington State is a little lighter on his feet, and that's what Matt Hayes has been saying. He would draft Andre Dillard and move Cam Robinson to right tackle. Whoever they think is the best pro that could play either spot, then bring him in, and between Richardson, Obwehe, Cam Robinson, and the rookie, let him fight it out for the best two spots, and I would certainly hope that Cam and the rookie would win. Otherwise, you're doing a pretty damn poor job of evaluating if you're taking this guy with the 7th overall pick.
Yeah, and you know, don't forget, too, it's not all about what they've done. There's the projection part of this whole draft process, too, that you know, these guys look at these guys and they think, well, where can I use him? What's he going to develop into? Where can we play him specifically? What does he project to be? You know, offensive linemen, they're not what they're going to be when they come in as rookies. You know, they're going to spend a year in the weights in the conditioning program. They're going to, you know, they change a lot year one to year two, which was why it was a little bit of a surprise and a little bit of a disappointment, or a lot of a disappointment, that Cam Robinson
Didn't look like he made any strides.
Yeah.
Prior to the injury.
Correct, prior to the injury. So that was, you know, you don't want the guy to be the best he's going to be as a rookie and never get better. That's a problem.
Sure.
So, but these guys project, you know, he projects as a right tackle. Most of the right tackles are not, your left tackle deals, you know, at this day and age, if you have to have a weaker tackle, it's going to be your right tackle. Not
sure.
saying that they're going to be weaker. You know, or Juwan Taylor will be weaker. But
weaker in pass protection.
Correct. And you can live with that. You can deal with that a little bit. As long as your left tackle is not getting beat and you're not getting pushed up the middle, you can kind of deal with that a little bit. Look.
Well, and by the way,
they may feel like they don't need to draft the tackle, that they've got the guy on staff, that they can go with
Abuehi.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Okay, Abuehi. They may feel like they can go. I just call him Cedric.
That's fine too.
With Abuehi, and go. You know what? We got by with you know, a little bit less than we could last year. We can manage it this year as well. And
that's a veterans
Richardson,
minimum guy,
right?
I wouldn't be surprised if they still like Will Richardson way more than they like Abuehi.
Right,
even
but they don't know what they're going to get from
signing.
Him.
Yeah, yeah. That's a depth deal, and I wonder too. For them, by the time they get on the board at 7, we keep talking about offensive tackle, right tackle specifically, because if you look at it, that's one of the big, like, we look at it as a big hole for them to still feel,
right.
You know, on this team. It's how close is Juwan Taylor to actually being the best available football player to them when they're picking at 7?
Not just the best available at a position of perceived need.
At a position of need, right? Like, is he a better football player than even the tight ends that we've talked about
over
and
over? Is he better than Rashawn Gary?
Right. I don't get that sense. And listening to people talk about him as a player, I don't get that sense. It feels like we're all trying to hammer the nail into that need. I'm not sure the team's ultimately going to go that direction. The closer and closer we get to it, the more we talk about it, the more I feel like defensive line tight end is where I think it's settling for me, at least right now, with offensive line being if something happens where there aren't guys that they love at these other spots available to them. But right now, I think it's likely defensive end or tight end.
Here's the other thing. You know, John says, why are we also caught up in Juwan Taylor? Well, when you say we is kind of like the draft media is caught up in Juwan
sure.
Taylor maybe being the best guy, right? And some of that is they do go to the combine. They do talk to personnel people. The personnel people say, you know what, here's my concerns about Jonah Williams. Here's how we feel about this guy. You know, I could see them. I see maybe Taylor as a top 12 pick. I see Williams as a top 20 pick. I'm just hypothetically, right? So they factor that into the rankings. But for all we know, the Jaguars love Jonah Williams. They may think he's the third best player in the whole draft. We don't know. So when you see all the pundits putting Juwan Taylor to the Jaguars, how many pundits were putting Blake Bortles to the Jaguars, right? Hayes Carline, I don't know too many that were putting him there. So doesn't really matter. You know, it's more for conversation's sake. Like, to me, Juwan Taylor represents whoever the Jags think the best offensive lineman is.
Sure.
At that point in time, you know. We talked about it yesterday, Tony. Cody Ford. Can Cody Ford play right tackle? I mean, could that be a guy who's under consideration? Nobody looks at Dillard because he played so far away, you know, and we don't know him as well. But he is maybe considered to be the best left tackle prospect. But just because he's that doesn't mean he's considered to be a better football player than Juwan Taylor or Jonah Williams. So there's a bit of a mix. And I do think beauty is going to be in the eye of the beholder this year. And different offensive line coaches like different types of players, right? Depends on what kind of run scheme you're running. If you need athletic guys that can pull. If you want big road graders. If you're playing a downhill, I formation, you know, power running game. Whatever the case may be. I think I could conceivably see three offensive line needy teams all ranking Williams, Taylor, and Dillard as the top guy on their board.
Yeah. Three different. If they rank those three, the rankings might be completely different for all of them. Yeah, you're right. It just depends on what fits. I'm with, like I said it before a little earlier, and I'm with Tony. Like, if I had to say right now, I'd probably say they're picking an offensive lineman. But as it gets long closer to the draft, you know, and you think, okay, they don't have Malik. They don't, you know, we talk about, okay, they don't have the right tackle. They've got, Richardson and Abuehi. You know, they got to get somebody else. But then when we don't really look at it as defensive line and go, okay, they don't have Malik. They got Taven. They got to get somebody else. When that is probably a more pressing need for them, then you know, if you're going to be honest, if you're ranking those two positions, Do you say, you know, right tackle is a more pressing need than defensive tackle? Three technique defensive tackle that can get up the field and create havoc?
Do you?
I would think that they probably go with the defensive lineman.
See, what is that? Are they saying that they don't think Taven Bryan is that? If they do that, that to me
that
is,
means you messed up on the draft before, yeah.
Right.
And that's how you get in trouble. You draft to fix your draft mistakes. That's how you get in trouble.
Well, if you don't, then you just have draft mistakes.
Well, yeah, right. But if you're continually chasing draft mistakes.
Granted, right. Then you're never fleshing out the rest of your
And
life.
I would rather, with them on the board at 7, I would rather them take a better football player than feel like they have to take this position. You know, like, I don't want them to feel like, I hope they look at it and say, this is the best football player we have available to us. You know, whether it's tight end, defensive line, if it is the offensive lineman, fine.
Take him.
You know, like, I'm fine
so
with that, too.
Are you okay if the starting five comes from what they currently have on the roster?
Yes.
Okay.
I think they are, too.
Do you think they know what they have at right tackle right now? Do you think even know what they have at left tackle right now?
No. Well, they know what the baseline was in 2017. And they can live with that because it worked in 2017.
Well, okay, I think one of the first two picks are going to be offensive line. If it's not in the first round, I think it's likely coming in the second. And I'm okay with that, too.
If there's a guy worthy of that pick, right? I mean, because then that sounds like you're getting into a range where you're saying, we need to get an offensive line with one of our first two picks.
I would say in the first three rounds because I don't think that they'll get – I think the tight end needs to be a bigger need for them at that point.
See, that's kind of where I'm at. I don't know that any of the needs are bigger to me. Right, like tight end, offensive tackle, and depth on the defensive line. I'm not looking at one of them and saying this is the glaring, they got to address this at 7. I think they have enough of those issues where you can evaluate these players that everyone's talking about that are in that kind of range and take the best one and not worry about what position he happens to be playing. I think they have enough of those kinds of needs where, yeah, okay, say they take an offensive lineman there that doesn't help him at tight end. They still need help at tight end too, right? Like there's going to be some position that probably a couple after they draft somebody in the first round where you're like, they're not okay at that spot.
Right, but where that's when their evaluation is it deeper at tackle? Is it deeper at defensive line? Is it deeper at tight end? Well, if you want the Gronk-style tight end, the guy that can be a mauler and in the run game and then still go out and be a factor in the pass game, well, that's Hockenson. And he's
right. There may be one of those.
There's one of those guys.
Right, but there may only be one guy that you feel is a guy you'd be comfortable starting on day one at right tackle as
well.
Or maybe two or three, but you project that they'd be long gone by the next opportunity to take one. You know, I think that's the case with every position. Right. I think when you look at it, you say, all right, is Jay Sternberger may not be Hockenson, but compared to Hockenson, let's say he's a lot closer than the offensive lineman you get in round three, right? You know what I mean? So it's
because they're not even talking about the top end offensive tackles in this kind of range, right? Like they're not talking about the top end offensive tackles in this draft as difference making players.
Correct.
It's the best tackle. Like that's the way that it's the best tackle available. Guys draft big guys in the draft. Like that's kind of the discussion about it. Whereas there are other players where they're talking, this is the next Kelsey. This is the next Gronk. Like, that's the way they're talking about some of these guys, as opposed to the offensive line. They're like, eh, she's the best one available.
We said yesterday, if you knew you could have the next Travis Kelce or Leon Searcy, okay, for this football team, who would you take?
Travis Kelce.
So would we.
Me too.
I didn't even have to think about
that. So would we. And that's the thing. You never do
Sorry,
know.
Leon.
You never do know. And that's it. Look, we'd love to have a Leon Searcy level right tackle
Heck
for the
yeah.
next 4 years or however long. But Travis Kelce in today's game is a game changer. He's a difference maker. That doesn't mean that Hockenson, just because people are making the comparison, will turn out to be Travis Kelce.
No.
You know? All right, we got to take a timeout here. We'll come back. This Dayton football, the Roland Reich roll around the National Football League. More mock drafts because it's that time of year. We'll get to all that. Your calls and texts welcome as well at 641-1010. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Mike DiRocco, Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, taking a look at this date in football history on March 21st. I'm told the first full day of spring. There was a little bit of contentiousness about this yesterday. I always thought it was the 21st, D-Rock. Somebody texted me and said that spring actually began at 5:58 p.m. yesterday. So, technically, today is the first full day of spring. What?
Okay. Who knows that? Who knows
5:58?
People know things. I'm sure they saw like the Weather Channel or something like that.
They must have saw it on
how'd
the
they
internet.
Determine
that? I don't know.
How did the Aztecs determine 5:58 p.m.?
I don't think we're still using any Aztec or Mayan technology to calculate the rotation
what about
of the Earth around
the Druids?
Sun.
Druids? Does it have anything to do with the Druids?
Druids love Jaguars today. Just go check out my Twitter feed. Okay, it's my pinned tweet. All right, on this day in football history, go back to 1946. Kenny Washington signed with the Rams, and in doing so, he didn't break the color barrier in the National Football League, but he became the first African-American on an NFL roster since 1933. So there was kind of a collusive segregation in the National Football League. It wasn't against the rules, but nobody was doing it kind of thing. And then Kenny Washington came on board, and then teams quickly followed suit, the Washington Redskins becoming the last team to have an African-American player on their roster years later. NFL owners on this date in 1984 passed the infamous anti-celebrating rule that was spurred by the Washington Redskins, the Fun Bunch. You remember the Fun Bunch, D-Rock?
I do.
The Art Monk and whoever they had. I guess Monk was a part of it, right? You had, who else did you have?
The other receiver wore 84.
Gosh, there were like three of them that were, man, I almost want to say there's like a J somewhere in there.
If
there's
only
a J.
There's
a letter J.
If only there was something that where we could look up the information
right,
relatively
like the internet.
Quickly.
I feel like one of those guys that is supposed to communicate with your dead loved ones.
Art Monk, Virgil C., Charlie Brown, Alvin Garrett,
Alvin
Otis
Garrett
Wansley,
is a G.
Rick Walker, Don Warren. I think Alvin Garrett wore 84.
I think it was Alvin Garrett I was thinking of. Charlie Brown we had on at the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. But the Fun Bunch was basically all it was a simple little celebration.
Yeah.
They did a little circle up high five in the end zone when one of their guys scored. And the Dallas Cowboys decided to break that up one day because they didn't like it. Thought it showed them up, and that caused a ruckus, and the NFL outlawed those
them old NFL
celebrations.
Unwritten rules.
Now they're back.
So the NFL literally made a rule to stop the fun.
Yes.
Like, no fun league. That's what they did, the no fun league.
Born in the state in 1937, happy 82nd birthday to Tom Flores. Probably, unless you're of a certain age, you probably didn't remember the fact that he was an actual quarterback in the league for a good bit in the 1960s with the Oakland Raiders. 31-33-4 as a starting QB, but of course he made his name as a head coach of the Raiders. 97-87 in the regular season, 8-3 in the postseason, though. In five postseasons, three losses, that means two Super Bowl championships for Tom Flores, yet still not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Also, happy birthday, 36th, to Clint Ingram, third-round pick of the Jaguars in 2006. Started no fewer than 11 games in each year of his 4 years here in Jacksonville. Those were his only 4 years, though, in the National Football League. Started 46 games for the Jags between 2006 and 2009 and never played another down in the National Football League. Clint Ingram is 36 years old today, and that is this date in football history.
Now, let's roll around the NFL with Roland Reich Plumbing, where quality and experience count.
One of the top free agents still available seems to be finding a new home as we speak. The New Orleans Saints are expected to sign free agent tight end Jared Cook, according to Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero. Obviously, we'll be joining up with Drew Brees there in New Orleans. That breaking here in the last 10 minutes or so. Free agent running back Jay Ajayi reportedly met with the Indianapolis Colts yesterday. Ian Rappaport tweeted this morning that the meeting went well, but there's nothing imminent as far as the signing. Ajayi is coming off a torn ACL. Minnesota has agreed to a 3-year, $15.75 million deal with former Tennessee Titans interior offensive lineman Josh Klein. Klein was released by the Titans last week. The New York Jets have agreed to a 1-year, $2 million deal with Trevor Siemian. The deal could be worth up to $3 million with incentives, likely indicates that the Jets will not be bringing back backup quarterback Josh McCown. And the attorneys for New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft have filed a motion to suppress evidence, most notably the video that allegedly shows Kraft engaged in a sex act, so that even if he were not to take the plea deal that we talked about yesterday, that evidence would never be made available to the public.
I don't understand what the whole deal is. It's on video, right? I mean, what?
Yes. Allegedly.
I mean, I haven't seen it. All right, yeah. So from what we've heard, it's on video. We'll see where that whole thing goes. Don't quite frankly care all that much. Trevor Siemian goes to the Jets, got some starting experience, goes there pretty cheap. I mean, that to me, would you rather have Trevor Siemian or Cody Kessler?
If it's Siemian, me, yeah. I'd probably take Kessler.
Would you?
I would.
Oh, I'd take Siemian in a heartbeat. I think he's done you know, much more successfully in the NFL. I mean, look, I thought Kessler was the right call to go to him last year. In fact, I would have went to him sooner. I really would have last year. But I've seen it. I don't think there's any upside. I think there's zero upside to Cody Kessler.
Yeah, probably.
You know, it's everything else would have to go right for you to even maintain a lead, I feel, with Cody Kessler in the football
either way,
game.
If it's Kessler or Simeon, you're...
I think Simeon's been a guy who's thrown for over 3,000 yards. He started a decent number of games. I'm not saying he's great.
He's 13-11.
Who would I rather have? Starter, 13-11 compared to Cody Kessler.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Does it bother you if Cody Kessler is the direct backup this year to Foles? Or do you feel that if Foles goes down?
No.
I mean, you know, in terms of wanting the Jags to have success.
I'm expecting them to draft a quarterback in the mid-rounds here, so I would assume...
You do.
Yeah, that guy would probably be the backup if he's halfway decent and can beat out Kessler for the backup job. Mm. But if they went with Cody Kessler and Tanner Lee... I mean, I guess. I mean, I don't necessarily see them spending the money on any of these veteran guys.
You hear anything about Tanner Lee, like their thoughts on Tanner Lee after a season on the practice squad?
Big kid.
Big
arm.
Right. Like, that's right. Like
that's it.
Nothing, right. Like, just sweeping generalities, right? Well, he's
a
big
kid.
Well, I mean,
yeah. I mean, big kid, big arm. I mean,
I asked somebody in the front office about Tim Cook last year. What does Tim Cook bring to the table? Well, he's a big kid. That's exactly what he said. In other words, you can't tell me one single trait about him other than his size.
Right. Well, I mean, he's not accurate. That they know, and I don't necessarily know that they want to go down the not accurate road with another quarterback. But
does anyone? Like,
no.
What?
Well, they did for five.
True. But in hindsight, right? Like you don't choose. You would have much preferred Blake to be a 65% passer right from
Absolutely.
The get-go.
Absolutely. Look. To me, they took him in the sixth round. Who was Leon Jacobs was the seventh round. Yeah. So they took him in the sixth round. How often are your sixth round picks? And don't throw Tom Brady at me.
I'm not about to.
Well, I was telling those people. I mean, to me, it was a low risk pick.
Or is it a wasted pick? Because exactly what you're saying, it's low risk in the sense of any sixth round pick is kind of low risk, but.
It was indicative of their whole draft.
But they,
it was an entire draft of we don't need impact right now.
Right, we're just going to take this guy and see what
he
turns
see what
into
he looks
in
like
year.
In a couple years. Like that's what the entire draft felt like.
But like it, where they were, just remember our mindset of this team and what they were when they were drafting. You know, in hindsight, it looks stupid that they were like, we don't need any help now. We don't need help now.
But
we
I'm
don't
saying,
help
like
now.
In the case of Tanner Lee specifically, like. I get it. Brady, it worked out. Occasionally, a quarterback falls through the cracks.
I don't think.
You're almost wasting your time drafting a quarterback at that point in the NFL draft.
Unless they said, you know what, none of the other guys that we really, really like are here.
Yes.
Here's a guy, maybe we can get him on the practice squad. Maybe, who knows, maybe he develops into a good, cheap backup for Blake in a year or two.
Right, I mean, Trevor Siemian was a seventh-round pick, and I'm saying I'd rather have him as the backup. So you can have a degree of NFL success as a late quarterback,
right?
But I never saw anything. I don't think most people did in Tanner Lee that indicated that this is a guy that a lot of people are going to covet. You're not
expecting your sixth and seventh round draft picks to become big time players. You're not in most cases. You're probably not even expecting them to become to make your roster.
So you think it's okay then? Just basically roll the dice a lot because if he does hit, it gives you value. Well beyond what the typical sixth-round pick would give you.
As long as that's not your only reason for doing it. It's like, what the hell? You know, no. If you legitimately, based on your board, and you go, you know what? The guys that we really like are gone. You know, these were guys we were kind of hoping would last to the sixth round that we thought we could get. And
do you hear anything like there was a split on the different quarterbacks that were available at that point that different factions.
I did not hear. In the sixth round with Tanner Lee?
Yes.
No, I did not hear
A guy to take a late-round flyer on, and that he may have been kind of almost like the compromise candidate. I heard that recently.
I had not heard that.
Just checking to see if
it would be interesting. But, again, you don't – if you're a good – if your team is in good standing and you're pretty good at most spots and you're a playoff team and – you know, you've got your roster pretty much built. Yeah, you can improve here and there. And you get to that point in the draft, I mean, those guys probably shouldn't make your team. They should be practice squad guys. If unless you come across the rare circumstance like with Brady where a guy goes, oh, my gosh. Or even with Leon Jacobs a little bit, that he was impressive right. enough that they could go ahead and start him. Now, I wouldn't expect him to be your starter this year. But,
I would hope not, yeah. right? Because so, if you can't improve upon a seventh-round selection, that right. I think you started more out at default than anything.
And at that point, there's one trait in some of these guys that you see that you're looking for that you think, okay, well, this, like Leon Jacobs, could really run.
Yes.
Okay? So you're like,
he's
you know.
Rocked up like yeah. a freaking Hulk.
Yeah, he's Adonis. He can really run. He's strong as heck. Who knows? You know, maybe let's take a flyer on him and see what happens. With Tanner Lee, big kid, big arm. Let's see what we got here. I'll say this about Tanner Lee real quick. Normally, when a team drafts a guy, it's especially a quarterback or an offensive player or something, you get comments on Twitter from people that say, oh, my God, you'll love him. He's a great kid, fantastic. The Jags got a steal. Not with Tanner Lee.
No.
Complete
good
opposite.
Luck with that.
Thank God he's gone. Yeah. I mean, oh, my God, that's the worst draft pick in Jaguars history. That was some of the stuff I was getting, and I've never seen that before.
Yeah, Gene Smith said, hold my beer.
Right.
All right, all right, we got to take a time out here. We'll go through our NCAA tournament brackets coming up and tell you maybe who you should not be banking on to make it to the Final Four. We'll do that next and talk Jaguar football with you right up until noon today at 641-1010. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Mike DiRocco, Jaguars Today, live at the Bank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at TIAA Bank Field, this is Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, we got some mock drafts we'll get to. Let's rip through these picks in the NCAA tournament. It's kind of obligatory sports radio, no matter what your format is at this time of the year. I wouldn't doubt the guys on NFL Live on ESPN are going to throw out their Final Four picks if they haven't already. This
talking
week,
like you didn't take this seriously.
I took it very seriously, Tony, and especially if I win, I will act like I knew what I was talking about. If I didn't, I'll point to the fact it took me 90 seconds to fill out the bracket. Okay, I am a one bracket guy. I don't tweak the brackets. I thought about in years past. I always threaten every year. One year I'm going to fill out a bracket that's just the chalk. I mean, literally the higher seed winning every game, just to see, and then double enter into a thing. But I did not do that because I'm too lazy. Okay, let's be honest.
That's weak too. Like we had people at the Times Union used to have one, and there was a woman that would put in 10.
Did she pay each time?
Well, yeah, but that's just like, I mean, I don't know. I just like pick your bracket and go.
I'm more of that ilk as well. We got a little one going on at 10-10. I don't know if you're even allowed to turn in more than one, but I've turned in mine. Tony's got his in. D-Rock, I'll be happy to take a copy over there for you if you would like to get yours on board. E.T.'s got his filled out. Tony told me the other day, I don't know who I'm picking in all these games. I'm picking Duke to win it all.
Yep.
So we might as well start in the East. I will begin, and I'll just rip through the whole Eastern bracket and tell you who I got, and then we'll go down the line and see what we got different. I was going to go with Virginia Commonwealth or UCF, so Duke UCF, Mississippi State, Va Tech, the chalk moving on. Then here's where my upsets come in. I got Belmont over Maryland. I've got Yale over LSU. Not confident in either one of these picks, but what the hell? And then I've got Belmont going to the Sweet 16 by knocking out Yale. D-Rock is shaking his head. I got Michigan State and Louisville, so going chalky there. The Sweet 16 would be Duke, Virginia Tech, Belmont, and Michigan State. Duke over Michigan State to get to the Final Four. Tony Smith.
The only upsets I have in the first round would be number 12, Liberty, over the 5-seed Mississippi State.
Homer!
Yeah, that's the alma mater. There's no doubt. That's why I picked them. I don't have them going beyond that. But I do have them winning in the first round, and I got Yale over LSU.
You do? All right.
Here in town. And let's see, Duke, Virginia Tech, Maryland, Michigan State. The Elite Eight would be Duke and Michigan State. Duke in the Final Four.
Duke in the Final Four. D-Rock, what you got?
Yeah, the only upset I had was Belmont, to be honest with you.
Okay.
That was fine.
Just winning one?
Yeah, just I had Belmont winning one. But I have LSU getting all the way to the Elite Eight.
Okay.
Duke and LSU, they're in the Elite Eight. I have Mississippi State winning two games. Michigan State winning two games. And Duke coming out of it.
Duke in the Final Four. Yeah. Let's go to E.T. E.T., what you got in the East?
No upsets. Duke.
None.
No upsets. Not in the East.
So, literally chalk the whole way through the bracket.
Well, I got Duke and Michigan State just like everybody else. So
right. No, I got you, but no upsets in the first round then.
Not right there. No, not in the East.
All right. All right. Let's go, Tony, to the West, which is Right below them, Duke would play the winner of this region.
Yeah, sure. Gonzaga, Syracuse going through. That's the 1 and the 8. I got Murray State over Marquette. They're in the 5-12 matchup. Florida State, Buffalo, Texas Tech, Florida coming out in their matchup. And then Michigan there is the 2 seed. I do have Florida in the Sweet 16. There's the 10, Gonzaga, Texas Tech in the Elite 8, and Gonzaga into the Final Four.
All right, Dave Caldwell says Buffalo. You got them all the way? Final Four, how many games you got Buffalo winning?
At least to the eight.
At least. All right. You know what? I almost did. I got Buffalo in the Sweet 16, but I got them losing to Michigan. So there he goes. Dave Caldwell.
You can't name anyone
in
on that Buffalo roster.
Sign some more players. D-Rock, who you got in the West?
Murray State winning a game, but I have FSU rolling out the rest of the way, beating Gonzaga and ending up in the Final Four. And the other part of it, I do actually have Buffalo winning the first game. It's right here. It's not because Dave was just here, I swear.
How dare you.
Texas Tech. I have Florida losing to Nevada because Florida's probably the team I've watched the most. And it's like, gee, it reminds me of Sundays where I don't know what you're going to get out of that group.
Are you telling me they're not natural shooters of the basketball?
They're after having watched them all for a couple. No, they're not. But I have FSU into the Final Four.
All right, ET, what you got?
Mine sounds just like D-Rock's. I got Buffalo winning their first round game, but then they're going to get knocked out by Texas Tech.
All right, and who do you have in the Final Four?
Final Four is Zaga.
Is that okay? You got
Zaga and Michigan. Right. Yep.
I got Baylor over Syracuse because Syracuse point guard get suspended like yesterday or something
yes.
like that. So I don't know who he is. I don't know anybody else on either one of these teams. So I went with Baylor. I'm
this
like,
is why
you
these
know what?
Things are great.
It's an 8-9 matchup. They're pretty evenly matched.
That's one of your starters. That's a flip. Coin flip.
That's where I went with Baylor. Marquette, FSU. I got Buffalo winning 2, knocking out Texas Tech in the Sweet 16. I got Nevada over Florida. Michigan moving on, though. I got FSU like you, D-Rock, in the Final Four. That's kind of my outlier pick, I guess, as the 4 seed. I think it's going to be a fairly popular pick. If you're picking if you're trying to go away from just the 1-2s in the Final Four, that's going to be a pretty popular one, certainly in Jacksonville,
sure.
Florida. Look, they're 14-2 in their last 16 games with losses to Carolina and Duke. It's pretty good, right? So they
it's
beat the
bad.
Number one overall Virginia a few days ago, beat Virginia Tech recently. Anyway, moving on. Let's go to the South, D-Rock. Who do you got in the upper right-hand corner of your page?
Yeah, it would be awesome for another 16-1 upset, but not going to happen. I have Virginia winning that one.
No Gardner Webb, huh?
You don't think it's going to happen back-to-back years?
Did not. Awesome. To the
would
same
that be
team.
Just awesome or
oh,
what?
Be the best.
Like, I mean,
hey, Loggeman.
The NCAA would go, you're not allowed in anymore. You're done. And I don't really have any upsets there either. In that first round, I've got Virginia getting all the way to the Elite Eight, playing Nova, losing to Nova.
Oh, you got Nova in the Final Four. All right.
Yeah, I was trying
That's
to
another good one.
I was
yeah.
like, you know, you got to be a little bit different.
Pedigree. I mean, you got a coach who's got his team
yeah.
there recently.
One of the very when everyone talks about the great coaches, and he doesn't get his due.
Jay Wright.
Jay Wright is, I mean.
Get a lot of turnover on the actual personnel on the court.
Yeah.
But nevertheless.
I mean, I would put him up there with. I mean, probably not Krzyzewski, but just at that right level, the level right below Krzyzewski at this point.
ET, who you got in the South?
There's just not going to be many upsets, man. I got Tennessee walking through all of that.
Tennessee, all right. I've got I do have Oregon in the 12-5 game. They're the 12 there. I did pick that one. Other than that, I do have Iowa over Cincinnati. This is work. I watch UCF Cincinnati. Now I'm an expert on the Bearcats. They didn't impress me that day, Tony, so I'm like, the hell with them. I'm taking Iowa. I do have Tennessee going to the Final Four as well, Tennessee over Virginia. The Sweet 16 is all the chalk for me, the top 4 seeds.
Yeah, I got Oregon in the 12-5 matchup here. The other upset I have in the first round is St. Mary's over Villanova. So,
oh, nice.
Head-to-head there with D-Rock.
I only have Nova winning one game, so I'd be down with that.
And I got Tennessee and Virginia in the Elite Eight, and when I was – like, I think Tennessee – like, I actually like Tennessee in that game, but I can't make myself do it. Like, I can't make myself put Tennessee in the final – like, I started to puke. Like, when I was clicking, I was like, ah, I can't do it. So I got Virginia in the Final Four.
Fanny guy. It's understandable. All right, and then we go to the Midwest. E.T., who you got in the Midwest?
North Carolina.
I got North Carolina. You don't need to hear the rest of
That's
them.
That's it.
I don't have many upsets at all. In fact, Seton Hall over Wofford in the first round. I got as the 10 over the 7. That's the only lower-seeded team I have. Got all the chalk in the Sweet 16. I've got UNC coming out over Kentucky. Tony, what about you?
I got Northeastern over Kansas. Not really a reason to it. Woo! I just wanted to take one of the 13 seeds. In the Elite Eight, North Carolina and Kentucky. Kentucky into the Final Four.
All right, Kentucky into the Final Four. And D-Rock, for you?
Yeah, you know, in this, when you read all the how to fill out your brackets, there's always like someone, there's a double-digit seed that makes the Sweet 16, Elite Eight,
sure,
you know, a bunch of times in X number of years, whatever. I don't remember. I was reading that. So I was looking for a double-digit seed. I felt I could run like that. So I went with Ohio State, honestly, to get to the Elite Eight and beat to beat Kentucky on the Sweet 16, get to the Elite Eight, and, you know, play North Carolina. Yeah, make a nice little run, North Carolina. I got North Carolina.
All right, so give me your Final Four is
Duke, whom? FSU, Nova, and North Carolina.
And your championship game is which team over which team?
Duke over Nova.
Duke over Nova in the championship game. Tony, what about you?
I got Duke over Gonzaga. They're on the left side of the bracket, and I have Kentucky over Virginia. So Duke, Kentucky in the national championship game, and I got Zion.
You got Zion Williamson, right? Yep. And E.T., for you, what's your Final Four looking like and who's winning it all?
Duke, Zaga, and then Tennessee, North Carolina. Duke and Tennessee in the finals. Duke.
Duke over the whole Tennessee thing. In the championship. All right, I've got Duke over Florida State. I've got North Carolina over Tennessee. And I went with North Carolina over Duke simply because, you know, if I'm going to win the pool, I better be ahead because everybody, at least half the people, are going to have Duke, I believe, winning the whole thing. So North Carolina's gone toe-to-toe with them all year long. I'm going to go with the Tar Heels in a one-point victory.
Yeah.
75-74.
Just two of y'all having Tennessee in your Final Four. I mean, Emmanuel having them in the final, like I did. Like,
Tennessee's a hugely popular Final Four pick this year. You know, they really are. You know, like they're hot right now.
I know it.
You know, people look at that. That's how people like me fill out their brackets, yeah. Right? Oh, I watched a little bit of championship week, and
you know,
now
sports,
I'm dangerous.
Sports, it's fun to have a team you love, and it's fun to have a team you hate. And I got somebody to pull hard against this year, boy. I mean, I got somebody to pull hard against with Tennessee getting all this love.
And as D-Rock pointed out, my picks are so good, I laminated the page right there. So to preserve that for all time.
Let's go Colgate.
Did you join the 1010XL bracket challenge, D-Rock?
I didn't. Should
you
I
need
did?
To go to 1010XL.com. I joined an ESPN bracket, so I think turnabout is fair play.
Sure.
I think you should throw your name into the ring at 1010XL.com in the next 28 minutes and get those same picks posted there so you can, like me and Tony, risk public embarrassment when our picks flop.
I do that every day I walk out of the house. What are you talking about?
All right, well, more widespread embarrassment. All right, we will come back, and I'll take a look at a mock draft or two before we wrap things up. Also, today's question of the day, asking you out there, who do you like in the Final Four of March Madness, the NCAA men's basketball tournament, which the Jacksonville portion will tip off now in a little over an hour at the Veterans Memorial Arena. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and Mike DiRocco here with you at the bank. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at TIAA Bank Field, this is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, coming down the stretch on this Thursday morning, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, D-Rock in the house as we're all together at TIAA Bank Field. The NCAA tournament tipping off in just over an hour, at least the Jacksonville portion of it. There's one game that tips off before that on the schedule. Not sure who that is today, but it doesn't matter. You know what? They're all on television. If they're not, watch March Madness live on your iPad or your laptop or whatever. I don't have True TV. It's not going to stop me from watching every game that I can get my eyes on.
Minnesota, Louisville.
All right, that's right. First one to tip off. I think we all have Louisville in that one in the 7-10 matchup there. Let's get a call in here. We got some mock drafts we want to look at. And our question of the day asked you, as you fill out your NCAA tournament bracket, who did you end up with in your Final Four? Let's go to Gary on the south side here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, gentlemen. I know that San Fran and the New York Jets have both publicly said they're in business to trade down. Have the Jags, they're so tight-lipped at Jacksonville HQ, are they willing to trade down? Have they definitely said so publicly? And I'll hang up and listen.
All right, thanks. I don't think they're going to come out and say, like, I think they're open for business, right? I don't think they're going to say, we want to trade down. You lessen your bargaining power,
sure,
there, right? I mean, if the Cardinals are not going to come out and say, we want Kyler Murray, when nobody can jump them to get the pick, no, teams are a little bit paranoid about it. I think they're open for business, but I think the question becomes, what is there that entices a team to move up and get him, right? For instance, you hear a lot of talk in the last 24 to 48 hours about Washington maybe making a play to come up and get Dwayne Haskins. Well, to do that, they may have to move up to the second or third pick of the draft. Most people, I think, at this point in time feel that San Fran's going to end up sticking and picking, right, with whatever they have. But we can't be sure of that.
No.
The Jets are motivated sellers at number three. So any team moving up to get a quarterback is looking to get ahead of Oakland as well as the New York Giants in that scenario, because Oakland's a bit of a wild card. They do have Derek Carr. Could they go all in, considering they have three first-round picks, on getting a new quarterback in there? Yeah, I could absolutely see that. So, Tone, you know, look, could be they're looking at Josh Allen, right? I mean, there are scenarios.
Sure.
Where enough QBs or enough other guys come off the board that one of the premier pass rushers is staring at you, and that may entice a market, but it also may entice the Jags, D-Rock, as we were just talking about. They may sit there and say, wow, we can get a guy with 17 sacks in the SEC. We're going to sit here and pick this guy, because that's been Dave Caldwell's MO. One great player, better than three good players, right? That's his belief anyway.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And it's a need. And, you know, Coughlin's shown the willingness with the Giants. I mean, you build
big
interior
guys.
Out. Big guys, loves the big guys. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's what happens.
But could you get a pretty good big guy, would say the 12th pick in the draft, or maybe a tight end that you really like a lot, you know, even if it's not Hockenson, maybe you get Fant, something like that.
I wouldn't, yeah.
Depending
if I were
on
them,
what the return is.
Yeah, if I were them, I wouldn't want to drop down any further than 12 or 13, like you said. I wouldn't want to go down to, like, 20 or anything like that. I mean, unless, you know, there's an extra number one thrown in there or something.
Imagine
well,
you'd be getting that, yeah,
I think
20.
Right. If you're moving to, like, 15 where Washington is, I think that would be the starting point in negotiations.
Right.
This year's first, next year's first, and maybe something else tossed in for good measure. And if you get that, I could live with that. You
sure.
know, you take me out of that elite tier. So how likely is it? That will be determined by what the board looks like. In other words, you know, is Dwayne Haskins there? And if he is, why is he there? Right? Like, right now, he had a good pro day workout. He's not going to run a 40 time. He's not a fast quarterback, okay? But he threw the ball great by all accounts yesterday in Columbus. He's not going to do anything else other than meet with teams individually. I find it hard to believe that one of the teams, you know, that we consider to be quarterback needy is not going to select Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be off the board by the seventh pick. But if he's not, I think that's your best chance to develop a market for the seventh pick.
I would
pick
tend
draft.
To agree with you, yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, for me, I'd still say, wow, you can get him without trading anything extra for him. I'll trade the prospect of a Juwan Taylor or somebody for a potential long-term franchise quarterback.
I'm with you there.
Without the need to come in and play right away, you know, play Foles for a couple of years. If he keeps winning, fine. You know what? Maybe flip Haskins for a future first-round pick down the line, potentially. Who knows? Would you guys right now, if you had the opportunity today, would you take Josh Rosen for the first third-round pick the Jags have?
In a heartbeat.
I would.
Yeah. Not even. I wouldn't even think about it.
Have to, right? Assuming they had anything close to a first-round grade on him last year.
Who knows what their grade was. They were picking 29.
Right.
So it was never going to be a consideration.
Right, like if Rosen had made it to 29, they might have snapped. Maybe if he made it to 20, they would have moved for him. You never know.
You don't know.
Right? I mean, as it was, Arizona moved up from 15 to 10 to take him last year. It's just that he's so inexpensive. Cost controlled, is going to cost like $6.5 million for the next 3 years combined. Then you'd have the fifth-year option as well. So, you know, and you'd have your first and second-round pick, still have a third-round pick to bolster this team. Be a delightful way to go. Don't know if they're going to get that opportunity. Kind of think they're not. Let me take a peek here at Will Brinson, competitor here at CBS. He's got Kyler Murray going number one overall. He's got Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams, Josh Allen, you know, kind of the three usual suspects. Montez Sweat, the pass rusher, going to the Buccaneers, and Devin White, who often gets mocked to the Bucs, going to the Giants in this scenario. With Haskins there, TJ Hockenson, the pick for the Jaguars. Who knows? I mean, look, I get it. He says the Jags could easily go defense here, but if they take a tight end who can help Nick Foles and also improve the blocking in the run game, they could kill two birds with one stone. It's a sneaky good fit. I don't think there's anything sneaky about it. It's a fantastic fit.
Right.
Like, I mean, we've been
talking
about
Hockenson.
Pretty
out there in the open.
For months we've been talking about this guy as a possible. Like, it is funny how people just want to be like, hey, nobody else is talking about this, I realize. But Michael Jordan may be the best basketball player of all time. You know, he's sneaky high on my list, Tony.
Are there a lot of places where T.J. Hockenson would land and it wouldn't be a good fit?
Right. It may be, you may not expect many teams to take him in the top 10.
Right.
But I think he'd probably be a good fit on most teams.
I would think so, the way that he's talked about.
Exactly.
It would, like Josh Allen, I think he's a pretty good fit anywhere that he lands, right? Like, he's a good enough prospect at his position. This guy's, yeah.
If you don't want that because he doesn't fit,
it's a pretty good landing spot. Right, T.J. Hockenson, I imagine he'll land in a pretty good spot for himself.
In this scenario, he had Dwayne Haskins going 11th to Cincinnati. Would you give the 7th pick for 11 in their first rounder next year with nothing else?
Yes.
Could have.
Yeah.
Man, heartbeat, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, I'd take less. Would you do it for their first, second, and third this year?
Yes.
I would, too.
Yeah.
I would, too. I mean, talking about a top 12 pick in the second and third round for a 4-spot move down, whew, in a heartbeat.
Yep.
I don't know if you'd even get that. I don't know if the chart says you should get more for that, but I would take that right now. I'd be such a Wheeler dealer, man. I would.
I know
you make
you are.
Bill Belichick look like he's doing nothing.
I would.
I know you are. I've been in enough drafts with you.
Bro,
I know you would.
I'd have 18 picks in next year's draft. I'm telling you, by the time the second round was over with, I would trade back so many damn times.
Is he a fantasy draft trade machine?
Yes.
Machine. Oh, startup draft trading is probably the best single part of fantasy
now
football.
Do you have your little sheet? Do you go by a sheet or you just wing it?
Right here in the head, baby. It's all... It's 20 years of experience of fleecing people in trades.
Wow. Your ego is showing.
No,
little ego. I like
it. A little bit. Yeah. It's massive, actually. DK Metcalf in this one went to the Redskins with the 15th pick. Jonah Williams, we talked about him earlier, went to the Vikings at 18. See, that's kind of where I think that's reflective of how guys like Will Brinson, Todd McShay, all these guys are hearing the chatter, right? Jonah Williams, most people had him as kind of a consensus top 10 in mock drafts if you look back in January, and now I think they're trying to reflect what they hear from decision makers out there and try to make themselves look good.
Yeah.
I think that's the mock draft process. By the time the last one comes out, they're trying to match what they think is going to happen as closely as possible and not necessarily going on their own rankings.
Right, but then they always throw out this is what I would do if I were the GM of the team, and it's a totally different mock draft.
I prefer those.
Yeah. Yeah.
This was one that was interesting. Paris Campbell going 21st overall, the fast, speedy wide receiver out of Ohio State, going to the Seahawks. A little bit of a run on wide receivers in this scenario. N'Keal Harry going to the Ravens. I saw Kelvin Harmon going to the Colts, who's a similar player to Devin Funchess. Funchess is there on a one-year deal. That could make some sense as well. Josh Jacobs going to the Chiefs. That would make fantasy owners perk their ears up a little bit right there. I don't think he had Drew Lock in the first round at all in this scenario.
It's interesting you mentioned Josh Jacobs there because we talked about it yesterday with the time that he ran.
Yeah, the 4.6s.
Yeah, and how much that may affect him. I saw Gil Brandt on Twitter yesterday that he was talking to a couple people that were at the pro day. And, you know, he said, I asked him how they feel about pro days when they go watch these guys. And it's like great, good, below average, that kind of thing. And so we asked him, Josh Jacobs, how'd you feel about his workout? Exceptional. Like, and I think there were more than one person on the ground that was saying that. Look, whoever thought he was ever going to be a top 10 pick, I don't think that was ever going to happen. But I still wouldn't be surprised if he ends up in the first round.
He could. Yeah. You know, latter half of the first round. Yeah. I mean, he's the likely – he's seen as, doesn't mean it'll prove to be, but seen as the most complete all-around back in the draft. You know, gives you a lot in the passing game.
And it's a slow group at running back this year in general. It's just a slow group.
Just ask Elijah Holyfield.
Yeah.
Woo. That was a little disappointing.
A little bit.
Little.
Wow.
The fact that if you
4.9.
have to run at your pro day is already disappointing, right? If you ran at the combine and you put up what you want to run, you're just not running at your pro day. Right.
That
I mean,
is
if you're Elijah Holyfield and you ran a 4.53, you're like, I'm standing on
that. I'm done.
I'm good, right? Yeah. And I trained for that moment. I hit my peak. And all you got to do is run fast once for these guys.
And it was worse at his pro day.
Worse.
That is not I don't know how that happened.
Help him out, Georgia.
I mean, generally, everybody's numbers are always better at their pro day.
Can we tilt the grade on that track or something for him? You know, let him run downhill a couple inches.
Was Kirby Smart on his back? I mean, I don't know what happened.
Might have been. That might have been it.
I mean,
did he play all season like that? You know.
But you know what, though? I saw the clip, And when he was running, did you think, oh, my God, that's ridiculously slow?
It did not look slow at all.
No, it didn't.
No, I mean, honestly, your eyeball can't tell the difference between 4.4 and 4.6. You know, you may be able to when there's a DB chasing him. Okay, you know, I mean.
It is like the idea that Peyton Manning ran a 4.8. You know,
that
and
does
basically
hurt.
He ran the same 40 that Eli Manning did. It's like, what?
Peyton Manning never ran more than a 5.2 in the league. Right.
It's like, I mean, what is going on? You're a running back. This is what you do. Like, that guy's a quarterback.
You run. You should be able to run fast.
You would think.
Somewhat. Faster
right.
than that.
We'll take a look at who people said they have in their final four here coming up in a second. But before we do, with the tournament getting set to tip off, let's check in with XL Primetime out at Boston's near the airport.
Now, the two-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Waiting in line is so 2018. App your way to the front of the line. Order Moe's online or in the app. Walk in, grab the food, and go.
All right, we got Joe C. on the line. The boys doing a little live broadcast as March Madness is upon us. Joe, how many people are out playing hooky at Boston's this afternoon?
You know, I think by the minute instead of by the hour, we'll see more and more of them that will roll in here and get ready to have the entire afternoon taken up. That's what I'm thinking. You know, I went down to the tournament this morning, Mike, and there are plenty of people that are in town. You know, Big Blue Nation, I call them Big Bourbon Nation. They come in droves, but LSU had a handful of people, you know, wearing the purple and gold. So I'm looking forward to heading back down there later on today.
All right, Joey, who's in your final four? Have you already gone through your bracket?
Yeah, I put North Carolina and Duke in the championship game. I have Texas Tech and Tennessee as my other two.
All right, I got the same as you. I got Florida State instead of Texas Tech coming out of the West. Seems like the West is the division where a lot of people are trying to differentiate themselves a little bit if they're going to go that route. Joe, have a great show today, man. We'll be listening.
Yeah, all right, buddy. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, you got it. A little bit of a delay there. I just want to let him off the hook.
Joe sounds a little distracted there.
No, I think that we call that a like a 2-second delay in the radio business there. But the boys will be out of Boston near the airport. So if you're anywhere in the vicinity, check out Joe Hacker, Matt Hayes, and Big Leon Searcy out there today. Talk about the NCAA tournament and sports in general for the next 3 hours. Tony, give us the sampling. Give us some of the outlier teams that people submitted that they have in their Final Four today.
Sure, some of the outliers here. We got FSU from a bunch of different spots. Texas Tech got a mention or two.
I got Kansas, a K-State here from Deadman.
Kansas State got mentioned. Maryland, St. Mary's. Man, that's a bracket. Chadwickson in Maryland, Michigan State, St. Mary's, and Houston as his Final Four.
Maryland, Michigan. St. Mary's in Houston.
Michigan, hey, yeah.
Who knows, you know? I got a couple of Michigans in my timeline right
Let's
here.
Let's see.
A lot of chalk, though. Purdue, I see a Purdue in the mix. ODU, wow. Wow. Okay, you go.
You got it.
You go with Old Dominion. Is Old Dominion even in the tournament?
I
guess
no
they
idea.
Are.
I've got, they I must are, say, yes.
They are. They're playing Purdue in round one.
14-3, right?
Yeah, it's a 14-3. That's a pretty steep run.
That would probably win you some money.
To go on right now. Anyway, go UNC. Go Tar Heels. Go Yale, right?
Look, go Yale. Colgate. I'm Colgate Nation today, buddy.
I got a feeling LSU will represent better than Yale in Jacksonville Veterans Memorial Arena today, but whatever, you know, ball's got to go through the basket. Root for carnage. If my bracket doesn't work out, I always root for carnage. That's just the way it goes. I root for my picks, though.
If you're going to burn, you want everybody to burn?
Everybody's
got
to. I want the world to burn. I want all the 16 seed. I'd take that right now. Who wouldn't want to see Duke knocked out by a 16 seed other than a Duke fan, right?
Not
yeah,
this
and
guy.
Way more people that hate
not,
Duke.
Oh, yeah. Well. ET wants to win the pool, but.
But I'm always a Duke. I root for Duke every year. I'm a big
oh,
Duke
do
fan.
You now?
Oh, yeah.
Do you? You come by that honestly? I mean, you got Tobacco Road roots, or how did that come about?
I grew up liking Duke and Coach K. I fill out my bracket backwards. I start with Duke in the championship, and I fill it out backwards.
You sound like my father-in-law. I think you're one and the same. All right, D-Rock, what do you have coming up at ESPN.com?
Next week we're taking a look, nothing the rest of this week because of the tournament, but taking a look at the biggest thing with Foles over Bortles is – the level of consistency, and Foles' lows were nowhere near as low as Blake's lows, so we're taking a look at that and how that, you know, can impact their win total, and then the week after We're taking a look at the scenario that you mentioned a little bit ago that, you know, if Haskins is somehow on the board when the Jaguars pick, what do?
Trade or pass. I don't think they're taking him.
But you could make the argument to take him.
Oh, hell, I would take him.
Right. I will be making that argument that Friday.
Right.
Like if they don't.
Right.
Right. It'd just be interesting to kind of see if that were the scenario there. What you know, and I'm going to rank them in the most likely things that will happen.
All right. We will look forward to it. Check out Mike there at ESPN.com or on Twitter at ESPN Duraco. For Mike Duraco, for Fat Tony, for ET, and for Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey. Good luck with all your bracket challenges that you have. We'll be back again tomorrow right here from 10 to noon talking Jaguar football and Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Yo, Jacksonville, let's go. Two more.